And now we're going to start the next Mishnah. Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. Halacha Vav is a new halacha. So it says, Hachala Ma'atruma. So Chala, remember the Pasuk says, do they quote the Pasuk here? Not on this page, but it says, Reisha Sat Riso Seichem, Tarimu Truma. What? Oh, good. Reisha Sat Riso Seichem, Chala, Tarimu Truma. So the Pasuk actually calls it Truma. So that means there's going to be a lot of things about Truma which are by Chala, and they're going to have very common denominators, as they say. So the Mishnah gives a whole bunch of them. Number one, Chayavim Aleihen Misa. Someone who's not a Kohen, if you eat a b'shogeg, you have to pay Karen and the Chomesh. And the Chomesh you can pay to any Kohen. The Karen you have to pay to the Kohen whose Truma or Chalav you belong to. Asurim Lazarim. So that's obvious. Of course, it's also to the Zarim. So it must be it's also to the Zarim, even if it's a Chatzi Shir. V'hein Netzei Kohen, that he can go ahead and buy anything he wants with them. Vayilum be'achin omeya, they become bottle only at 101. Or tu'unim rechitzis yadayim, that means that stam yadayim are shniyasein, and when you go ahead and you touch something, that with the dayim with their shniyas, if you touch truma, it passes the truma derabbanon. So this is a special din that applies both by chala and by truma. Harav shemesh, if you go to the mikveh, you have to wait till the stars come out before you can eat it. Ve'enon in tol minatar alatomeh. And when you're being mafresh from one on the other, if you have tar and you have tomei, you can't be mafresh from one on the other. It's a gzerah d'rabbanon, because if you're going to come to be mafresh from tar and tomei, you're going to come to be mafresh shalom and hamokaf. So the next one, which is shalom and hamokaf, is really the reason for the previous one. That you have to take element hamokaf, you have to take it from stuff that's right in close proximity. Like it says over here, which proximity does he say? The term Minah Mukaf has been rendered from that which is in close proximity. The Gemara in Trumas derives this rule from Imenu, which is it's a din d'oraisa. Yeah. There's a disagreement whether this. Oh, it says over here there's a disagreement among the Rishonim whether this is d'oraisa or not. Okay. So Tosis and Gittin, Ramban, Rashba, Bir Hagra, they all say it's d'oraisa. Rabbinic is Rashi and Chulin and Gittin and Ramban and Gittin and Radvaz. Okay, it doesn't explain what proximity really means. We'll see it later, I think. Maybe we've had it before. Minadavar HaGomer, it has to be finished. It can't be not, it means it can't be Lahevi Shlish, right? Ha'imir called Garne Truma, a person says, my whole garden should be Truma. That's, or he says, my whole Isa should be Chala. Of course, we always know that it says Rashis. Rashis means that it is the beginning of, or the beginning of, there's something left. You can't call the whole thing Rashis. Okay? Okay, that's the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, if you don't have a positive, Chala, Chulin, Hu. Now, what the Gemara is doing here is it's trying to tell me what the Havamina would be to say that a Zar could eat Truma. So it's very interesting. And the Pasuk says that it's Truma. So if the Pasuk calls it Truma, why would I think that a Zar could eat it? So the Gemara is giving a Havamina. What I would have thought, guess what the word Chala comes from? Chulin, plain, ordinary Chulin. There's another place, in the footnotes it says, there's another place in the Torah where we have something called Truma, and it's mutter to a Zar. You know what that is? Maisris. Maisrishin is called Truma, and there's some pasuk where it's called, referred to as Truma. And nonetheless, Maisris mutter to a Zar to eat. So therefore, I would have thought the same thing is true about Chala. So Kamashal on the Mishnah. So that's what he's saying. Chala, Chulin, who? I would have thought that you can mix in this challah that you took off with the rest of your challah that you're making for your family. That they're exactly the same. Okay. Now, the Gemara says, this is what I think you were all excited about in the beginning, that there are eser mitzvahs on him isa'at shalei yachal prusa. So there's 10 mitzvahs a person's makayim before a piece of bread gets to your mouth. Joey, you hear this?
I'm
before you get a piece of bread in your mouth,
yes.
10 mitzvahs have been mukoyim already. What are the 10?
Bring it on.
Do you know the 10?
I'm reading it here.
Okay, I thought maybe you knew them all, Pat. So it says, Mishum Leisachroish. Mishum Leisachroish. It says, Linala Bichayrish Mishomach Hamor Yaktav as Klayim, right? Val Tizra. Leisizra Kamachal Klayim. You're not allowed to play in Klayim. Val Taksim. Leisachim Shabadisho. You can't muzzle the animal. So that's 3. Then you have Lekachikam Peya. That's another 3. That's 6. Then you have Truma Meiser Rishon and Meiser Sheni. That's another 3. That's 9. And then you have Kala, which is number 10. So there are 10 mitzvahs that you are mekayim before you ever get to the bread and getting on your table.
Do you have the Likutei Mishnas Eliyahu?
No, I don't.
He doesn't count any of the Yisurim.
He does. He does have the
Yisurim. You see, he has Lekachich Hapeh, Truma Meiser Rishon, Meiser Sheni, Bikurim Staka V'Kala, Truma Meiser.
So he has Bikurim Sedaka. What's tzedakah?
I guess he gives tzedakah.
Meiser ani? Maybe. Chawa shumas meiser.
So he doesn't have the low tasses.
Yeah, because also says you never become a mitzvah if it's not bali yadcha.
Yeah.
However, I looked in the Rekeach today, in the Rekeach, which is an earlier source, as has it the way we have it.
He has it there.
Okay.
Chawa is out of order, though.
What?
Shumas meiser.
Okay, well, that's a recept that we're learning. You're Mekayim. You're Mekayim. 10 mitzvahs. I didn't give the Trumas of Meisus either. I didn't grow the field. I didn't give the Lack of Shechem Peah either.
I don't understand what.
So the point is that there were 10 mitzvahs. Not you. Means that there were 10 mitzvahs that were associated with this bread before it got to your table. That's a valid point. And there are people.
Even though he says, Eser mitzvahs of the Oseh, he actually performed.
Yeah,
and he don't perform anything.
And those days, they didn't
accept my kids.
Well, I knew there was.
Today, we said, Boti Mazamit and Kusa.
Now, something they bring in Shulchan Aruch, as you all know, it says that when you make the bracha of Hamaitzi, you should hold the bread with 10 fingers. So there are 3 reasons given. One is the Gemara we just said, 10 mitzvahs. One is because the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Hamotzi Lecha Min Haaretz, has 10 words. 10 words. How about Eretz, Kita, Usoira, Teina, Gefen, Rimon, Eretz, Zeis, Shemen, Udvash. 10 words. How about the Sidur of the Pas in Masechta Shabbos? Read the Malachas and Sidur of the Pas. I don't know those Baal Peh, but if you read through them, you'll find there are 10 of them. Another 10. So these are Helig and Yonim, that if you held your bread today with 10 fingers, you would have thought of it. But you didn't think of it, Shafti. Okay. You didn't hold it with 10 fingers. I hope you're holding it.
When you pick up a chamish, are you using all 10 fingers?
What do you hold it with 2 fingers? I mean, you hold your finger. You hold your challah like that. You hold your.
He has a little roll.
When you use a chamish, are you using all 10 fingers?
Okay.
The question is, if the woman makes that motzi, does she have to hold it with 10 fingers?
What do you mean?
There's some. Make
no, but I'm asking, why would she not have to? Is she not mitzvah in all these mitzvahs? Okay. Very good. Rabbi Yitzchak Kadosi Mesavli Dai, he would take bread in his hands. Who Pashat Asate Esmase, he would extend his 10 fingers over the bread. I was Makayim, 10 mitzvahs. You see that, Joey?
Fascinating.
Yeah.
It was worth it for him.
I thought you'd like it.
Wow. Amazing. Just by holding up the bread, I was kind of 10 mitzvahs.
It doesn't say that. It says, okay, now we're on Tezayin on the base. Chalo al hakol. This, now the Gemara is...
Esra
Okay, Joey, we're on the next page now. We're now on Tes Zayin on the base. We've moved on to 16b. Okay? Chala al hakol, truma al hakol. When you make the bracha on chala and truma, you should have in mind that you're separating it for the whole batch. Person shouldn't think, I'm just being mafresh. There's a funny thing here. It says, who brings this down over here? Someone says a funny havamin over here. I thought I saw it before.
What's the really on?
What? Anyway, maybe it's in the footnotes. So the Gemara said, one second. I thought I saw something over here.
What else would he be separating the challah for?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to tell you. I found it someplace. I just have to find where it is. I was wondering this, I think, maybe with the Hebrew. Maybe the Hebrew has it. Do you remember? Let's see here. This is Tezayin on base. Hold on a second. Let me just look it up here. He says that you would think that you're just taking off the challah from the batch. Okay? But it's a part of the batch, not the whole batch. What did I see over here? He says it.
If you look at footnote 1, it brings it down.
Is that right?
Yeah. By the Rosh Shivilo.
This one applies only to instances where it's unclear if your intention is to separate challah truma for his entire dough or silo. For example, a woman who separates challah from dough before it's fully kneaded must specify that she is separating challah on behalf of the sourdough that will be added later, and any flour that is still unmixed. Or in an instance where we separate truma from a pile of grain, you must specify that the truma is also on behalf of the grain that slipped off the pile or became mingled with the straw. But ordinarily, when you separate challah truma, it's the entire dough and all the grain, and he doesn't need to reflect on the matter. Okay, there it is. So that's what you would think. You would think that in some case, there are cases where it's not clear that it's on the whole thing. So that's where the Gemara is saying you should count, whether it's you having it in mind or does he specify it? Do they have a lashon over here?
He says you could just have it in mind.
Yeah. If Rakhat Sarah Klamer came, L'chavein, the Mara folder says, L'chavein, Shedei Chala Zuala Kol. Okay, very good. Next, second similarity, Lashem. That it says both Lashem, Tarimu Truma Lashem, right? So Lashem means Zeh Hashem HaMiyuchad, which I think means that you're making a bracha. That's all that really means. I don't think it means anything more than that. Minayin Shlo Asa Kol Machi Yishayir Mitzas. How do you know? Tamalai Merei Reishas, V'loi Kol Reishas. It says from the Reishas, not the whole Reishas. We've had that already. Hadron Allah Hamisha Dvarim. Okay, now we're going to start a new parak. The second parak of Challah. Peres chutz la'aretz shenichas la'aretz. There's a lot of raid on this Mishnah. It's a simple Mishnah, but there's a lot of discussion here on the footnotes. If you have peres of chutz la'aretz, they're coming to Eretz Yisrael. Chayovim b'challah, they're chayivim challah. Because it says, let's just look at my folder.
So Challah is unlimited.
Huh?
Paris means grain here.
What?
I think it means grain.
Of course it's grains.
Paris means grains.
That's the first mission in the Masechta. We learned that there are only five grains that are chayiv and challah.
So why is it the
Paris? Paris is called grain. We've called grain Paris many times. So
that number one, the first line.
Mine chuba v'chamesh es mine dada.
But it's not a mitzvah to leave bars?
Oh, so what's so let's first read the bar folder. So he says, the pasuk says, El ha'aretz asher ani maybe eschem shama. This is a pasuk. If the pasuk for challah is located, just to remind ourselves, in Parsha Shlach, In Shlach, Hashem says you're going to take off Truma when you come to the land I'm bringing you there. What's Shama? There. That means there you're chayev in the mitzvah of challah, regardless of what the source of the grain where it grew. That's the drasha. Shama tem chayavim bein b'peres ha'aretz, bein b'peres chutz la'aretz. That's the basis of the first statement. Okay? So you have grain that grew in Eber HaYarden, you know, in a place that's not part of Eretz Yisrael, and it comes over the Yarden, and now you go ahead and you do what? You take those grains, make them into flour, and you knead a dough. That's when the dough becomes, that's chayev in min ha-Torah in challah. Now, if notice how I said it. If you would have kneaded the dough in chutz la'aretz and then brought the dough into Eretz Yisrael, that's not chayev in challah, at least not the deraisa level.
Rosh Tirulo sounds like it's totally a korban funel.
No. That's Rabbi Kiva Shita. We argue on Rabbi Kiva. We're going to see in a second. Okay, no, hold on a second. The Kitzer, that's the basis of the basic distinction, if you want to talk about the Svar. The Machayev of Challah is when you're making it into a dough, and since the Machayev of Challah took place in Eretz Yisrael, that's why you're Chayev, regardless of where it came from. Let's learn it partially like that, okay? Yotzu mikan l'sham. What if it went from here? Where's here? We're talking in a Mishnah. So where's the Mishnah being compiled? In Eretz Yisrael. So l'sham, and we're going out to Eretz Chutz La'aretz. Rabbi Elazar machayev, Rabbi Kiva pointer. Rabbi Elazar holds it, you're chayev anyway, because it grew in Eretz Yisrael. And Rabbi Kiva holds, no, you're potter. Rabbi Elazar machayev, d'ksiv, v'acholchem milechem ha'aretz. It says, when you eat from the lechem of the land. What's the lechem of the land? That means it was based, the ingredients were based on peiros that grew in the land. He has a drush from a pasuk. Rabbi Kiva, Shoma, since it says Shoma, you eat over there, Mashmalei Miyuta, there's a mir of the over there. That Shoma, Atem Chayavim, Bein Atem Chayavim, B'chotz La'aretz. Afal Pisha, Atem Eichlam, Milachem Ha'aretz. So Rabbi Kiva holds your potter. We pass on Rabbi Kiva. Afrachus la'aretz shabab esvina la'aretz. Now, here we have, let's say I take, I have a whole nursery on a boat, and I have stuff growing in dirt in the bottom. I have dirt on the bottom of my boat, a whole big nursery over there, and it comes into Eretz Yisrael. Chayav b'maisus of Shvias. Everything becomes chayev in maisus shvias, because it's being yonek from the ground of Eretz Yisrael. So there are different pshatim over here. Let's say one pshat. One pshat is that there's a hole in the bottom of the boat, and it's like an otzis nakuf, and we plug that hole with some dirt so that the boat doesn't sink, but it's still being yonek through that hole. The humors of the ground go up into the boat, and they cause the peiros to be chayav in peiros in maisus and shvias. Okay, on Rabbi Yehuda says, "Amosai, when is this true? What the Tanakhama said? That's bizman shahasfina gosheshes. That's if the boat is how do you call it." What do you say?
On the ground.
It's grounded. It's been grounded, right? It's actually touching the ground. But if it wouldn't be touching the ground, then it's not enough for it to have a hole in the bottom. It has to actually be touching the ground. Okay? So
what about the other way around?
So
ground from Eretz Yisrael goes to Chutzlar.
We're gonna have that in a second.
Oh, yeah.
We're gonna have it in a second. So normally there's a rule of any time Rabbi Yehuda says a Masai Rama Lefarish. You know that rule? Whenever Rabbi Yehuda says a Masai or Bama, like Bama or Ramurim, he's not arguing on the Tanakhama, he's just saying Mafarish the Tanakhama. In which case, if that were true here, then Rabbi Yehuda would not be arguing on the Tanakhama. So there is a Machlokas and Mafarshim here. Does that rule hold true here as well? Or Is this an exception to the rule? So Rash Cirilo proves from a Gemara Gittin Daf Zayin, which I happen to have looked up on Daf Zayin on base. Let me tell you the Gemara Gittin. So first let me tell you the Shitas. A fly come to my share. It's just coming to be mafarish, and therefore. So Tein Moshe says clearly that this is just like everywhere else in Shas. It's not an exception. If you look at here, look at Rash Cirilo where it says Zman Shas Tvina Gosheshes, three lines below that. Afagav the whole duchni amrin on a masai Rabbi Yehuda me masisim b'farish v'lo lachlok hakaim alon da'inim leidim in ha'klos afilu makshem amin kutz uberaisu coming behedya and parakam the gittin also says that they argue and therefore so Rash Cirilo holds that they argue, Tein Moshe holds they don't argue, and so you have two different ways of learning over here. Just want to tell you the Gemara Gittin because it's fascinating. Our Gemara, Mamash, says explicitly that they argue. The Gemara talks about, remember the Gemara in Gittin, the first mission in Gittin, where sometimes you have to say B'fani Nechtam, B'fani Nechtam. Remember that? So when do you have to say B'fani Nechtam, B'fani Nechtam? That you're coming, Echol Chutz La'aretz, right? Either because it's not B'kiyam or because it's not Shechichah, whatever the reason is over there. But in Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to. You don't have to. What happens if you maybe get on a boat? You're on a river, on a boat. Tani Chodai, you have to say B'fani Nechtam, B'fani Nechtam. And Tani Chodai, you don't have to say B'fani Nechtam, B'fani Nechtam. The Gemara says, Lokasha, right? What's the Yishuv to the Stira? HaRabbanon, HaRab Yehuda. That's what the Gemara says. What Rabbanon Rabbi Yehuda we're talking about? This Rabbanon Rabbi Yehuda. According to the Rabbanon, they hold what? That a Svina, as long as the Svina is made out of, has a hole in it, then it's considered connected to the ground. So according to him, you don't have to say Fani Nachtam, Fani Nachtam. But according to Yehuda, it's only if it's Gosheshes that it's considered connected to Eretz Yisrael. But if it's floating along, it's not connected. So therefore, according to him, you would have to say Fani Nachtam, Fani Nachtam. Okay? So the Gemara says clearly that this is Machlokes of Yehuda and the Tanakama. That's the Raya the Rav Cirilo brings, that this is the exception to the rule. Very interesting. It's a tough raya to get around. Very tough. Okay. Anyway, if you're interested in the subject more, take a look at Rambam Perek Aleph Hilchos Trumas, Halacha Chav Beis, Chav Gimel, Chav Dalet over there. You'll see over there that the Mefarshim talk about, the Kesem Mishnah talks about this.
It comes out reputed that holds that there's no such thing as territorial waters of Eretz Yisrael.
As far as this halacha is concerned,
Gemara is applying it to get the
Gemara
and it's a get.
Yeah,
it's
a get here also.
Eretz Yisrael has water. That's part of the sugya over there. I think that Eretz Yisrael has the boundary of Eretz Yisrael includes water.
So this case, you would consider like. Because it's connected to the water. There's a hole you're sinking. What are you doing there? I mean, how's it connected? Connected to water.
Rebuta seems, his sheet seems to be that we only consider Eretz Yisrael when it's connected to land. Not on water.
It has to actually physically be touching the land, according to Rebuta.
There's no water that we call Eretz Yisrael.
Okay.
So hydroponics.
Esau, finally. Esau Shani Loshima made Paris. Okay, so now here we're saying a following thing. If you have a dough which did not have any water, it did not have any one of the seven mashkin, which we remember, Yad Shachat Dam, right? Remember that? That seven, So it's the yayin and dvash, whatever all those fluids are. If you had an isa which was made with apple juice, so what does it say? Chayev es b'chala. It's chayev and chala. So what's the pshat in this? Gentlemen, I want to ask you this question. I want to see what you say. We said in the beginning of the Masechta that the way we know what the five grains are is because that they can become chametz. Right, and we know May Paris ain't no machmitzim. They does not become chametz because of May Paris. So why does the Mishnah say that something that's made with May Paris is chayav and kala? What's the answer to that question? Any other question?
No. Say it again.
Question. We said that the reason on daf aleph on aleph.
One of the two reasons.
We said, well, that's an important reason. Now we learned out that the way we know the five grains is because they come chametz. We learn from chala gzer shomer from Pesach, right? So that means in order for it to be chayiv in chala, it should be chametz eligible to be chametz. And if May Paris are not eligible to be machmetz, if you hold May Paris on the machmitzin, why? No. Chayiv b'chala, it says it's chayiv in chala. Chayiv b'chala is not marzayin. Chayiv b'chala means it's chayiv and chala. This is chayiv d'oraisa and chala. Why? It's not machmetz. What's the answer?
Because water might be mixed in.
No.
It's still called lechem. Hello?
It's still called lechem, yeah. Why?
Yeah.
It's still called lechem. I think this is what you're saying, but this is the answer. The answer is because that's the din of whether it can become chametz is whether it's roi to become chametz. It doesn't physically have to become chametz. Every time you make matzah, it's not chametz. You're baking it within 18 minutes. It doesn't have to become chametz. It has to be a min that can become chametz if you were to handle it a certain way. Right?
If you baked it within 18, it's not chametz.
And over here, even though it's not going to become chametz, even if you let it stand 18 minutes because it's made Paris, but the ingredients is an ingredient which could become chametz under certain conditions, and therefore you have a challah. That's what they say in answer.
Is they bringing what the Rosh brings from the Rashba? Here it's a Rashba, yeah. Piskei challah.
Yes,
this question.
Yes, that's it. The famous Rashba.
That's right. That's exactly what we just said.
And you're understanding that how that wasn't there.
That's what I'm saying. The pshat is that it's a type. The min, so wheat, is something which can come to chimutz. If you add water to it, it can become chametz.
Right,
if you use water, it would become chametz.
And how about if I didn't use May Paris at all? There's no May Paris. It's just a min that can become chametz if you use the right. If you use water, but I'm not using anything. No May Paris.
Then you don't have a challah. You only have this flour.
Yeah, but it's roy. If I put in water, it will be.
It's not chayiv and chala until you make an isa. You have to have an isa. You have to have.
An isa with May Paris?
Yeah. You have a dough.
Okay. Yeah.
You go ahead and eat it and you get it sticky all over your fingers. It's dough. Okay. Very good. Famous Rashba. Very good. Okay. And if it's made with May Paris, it's not Makabal Tumah because it wasn't Hochshar. So even if your hands are Tomei, you didn't do any Tos Yadayim, no problem, because it's not Makabal Tumah. Hayisha, final halacha. Hayisha, Yushevas, Makoitza, Halasa, Aruma, Nesha, Yucholo, Lachasos, Es Atzma. A woman who's not wearing any clothing can take off Chala because she can make a bracha. Why? It says, you're not allowed to make a bracha in front of Erva. There it is, when she sits on the ground with her legs folded and her Erva is covered, and she can make a bracha. Why can a man, without going into details, that wouldn't work? His erva would still be exposed.
Refer to the details.
If you need an explanation, I'm going to shut the recording.
Rav Chaim speaks it out.
Oh, what does he say?
He says,
I got the book.
I got the book.